Expand your mind and enrich your world. It's time for another outstanding podcast from ICRT.
Today on Taiwan Talk, we'll be speaking to one of the co-founders of Camphor Press, a new digital publishing house based in Taipei that specializes on English language books about Taiwan and its surroundings. The publisher was launched earlier this year, but it's already built up a collection of nonfiction offerings, all released in a digital format. Joining us now over Skype is Michael Cannings. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Keith.
So I've read a couple interviews with you, and you've said in one of those interviews that one of the goals for starting Camphor Press is to help support authors who are writing about Taiwan and its surroundings who might otherwise not get backing for their work, might not be able to find a publisher. So why is that a goal of yours?
I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that's being written about Taiwan, but in the past, options have been pretty limited for people who want to publish. You can write a blog about it, but if you want to get your work out to a wider audience, then you're kind of limited to either the academic presses, in which case your writing needs to have a certain tone and be suited for an academic audience, or you can go with government publishers and so on. But there wasn't really a platform for interesting writing about Taiwan, the kind of things that we wanted to read. So, yeah, we decided to do something about that and set it up ourselves.
Why do you think there is that shortage of writing for the popular audience about Taiwan?
I don't think there's any lack of writers, to be honest. I think it's the platform that's missing. And I think probably the reason it's missing is down to economics. There is a relatively small audience of English speakers, English readers, who are interested in Taiwan. And so if you're wanting to set up an entire publishing concern around Taiwan, then you have to be very careful with the financial side of it to make sure that it's viable. I think if you were going into this as a pure businessman and saying, you know, where's my next million going to come from, it wouldn't be through publishing English language books about Taiwan. So you really need somebody or a group of people to get together who are passionate about the subject. And while we need this concern to break even, and you know it makes a little bit of profit, it's not really the primary motive. The main thing for us is about providing this platform that's been missing in the past.
So what makes you passionate about this subject matter? Why do you think that Taiwan is an important place to write about?
I think if you look at other places in Asia, there's a tremendous amount of writing about Japan, about China, about Thailand, and other areas, but Taiwan has really been underserved, unless you talk about the politics and particularly the cross-strait issues. When it comes to the culture and the art and the languages and the history of Taiwan, I think there's really been a lack of great writing about the island. There are a few books that stand out, but in general, there's sort of a lack there that isn't seen in other countries. I think the reason that Taiwan deserves to be written about, well, I think you could say the same about any country that's underserved. If you were talking about Peru or Venezuela or Burundi or wherever, you could find some interesting things to write about. But I think in particular Taiwan has so many facets that are really unusual in the world. This transition from a military dictatorship to a civil democracy, the peaceful transfer of power that happened, the economic miracle of Taiwan, and this transition really from being an agrarian and very traditional society in the 50s and 60s to being a very modern, advanced society that it is today, although still with some traditional elements mixed in. So I really think it's a fascinating place, and it's one that captures a lot of people's interest, I think.
Do you think that there's any practical impacts to this lack of writing about Taiwan? In terms of people's outside of Taiwan, their understanding of the island, or even just how they think about it?
I think so. I mean, I think having this writing about a certain place is obviously going to put it higher in people's minds. So Japan is extensively featured in films and in books, and not only in nonfiction, but in fiction as well. It's a ripe subject for novels and films, and because of that, it's placed higher in the public imagination. People all know where Japan is. People all know something about Japan, even if it's only on a very basic level. Whereas with Taiwan, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced the same. A lot of time people overseas don't really know anything about Taiwan, may get it mixed up with Thailand, may not have a clear picture beyond maybe computers or Free China or Formosa in the case of my father, you know. So I think it's significant in terms of developing a public place for Taiwan in the world, that if you have this sort of, I know governments try to create this sort of soft power, but if you have this something that's organic, that's growing up, talking about the island, then that's bound to have a knock-on effect to how people see it from the outside. But I think also what you want to do is achieve a kind of balance so that people are not just talking about the cross-strait issues, very important though those are, and they're not just talking about modern politics, but they're talking about all of the vibrant things that go into making up this island. And I think we're not really going into this with the aim of promoting the island as such. So, you know, if you want to say bad things about Taiwan, then we're quite happy to publish that, just as if you want to say good things. What we want to do is give a realistic picture of the island and help people who are passionate and who want to share their experience and their knowledge of the place, help those people to get the word out to a wider audience.
So it's a pretty interesting name that the publisher has, Kampfer Press. How did you choose that name?
This was actually one of the most difficult parts of getting the company up and running. I mean, I did think that negotiating all the regulations in Chinese and getting accountants sorted out and registration and all of that would be tough. And actually, that was quite straightforward. But getting the name sorted was something that we batted backwards and forwards for months and months. We came up with all sorts of things. But in the end, we wanted something, because our business is not just centered on Taiwan. We have books about China, and we're moving into books about the wider region as well. So there'll be things coming up from Burma, Myanmar, something about Japan, and so on. So we're really an East Asia publisher rather than a Taiwan publisher. Of course, Taiwan is our focus. So we wanted something that wasn't explicitly tied to Taiwan, but at the same time reflected a sort of Asian identity. And the camphor industry in Taiwan in the 19th century was incredibly important. It was one of the three main exports, along with tea and sugar. And it's really a sort of good microcosm of what Taiwan was to the world. It was sort of this mysterious place, and camphor itself is a bit mysterious. Nobody's quite sure what you use it for anymore. And yet it represents something a little bit exotic. The name camphor just seemed appropriate.
So Camphor Press was actually founded by three people, including yourself, but also Mark Swofford and John Ross. All of you are pretty established in the expat community in Taiwan. I've spent a lot of time here, kind of understand the island. And also, you're definitely serving quite a niche market, as you've already kind of alluded to. How do you think that your background as an expat has prepared you guys to serve this market?
I think the three of us bring different things to the company. So whereas John is the natural writer, and you can ask him to produce something, whether it's for publicity or an introduction to a book or something, you can sit down with him, you can listen to him talk, you can watch him write, and an hour or so later he's come up with something absolutely fantastic that Mark or I would never be able to do. Mark is the strong editor of the group, so he's really focused on the technical side and getting everything word perfect, and then I mainly look after the business side. We sort of all take a turn in each other's jobs, but that's how it normally breaks down. I think the expat experience feeds into that in a little way, because as an expat, I think you need to be a little bit more, you need to have your hand in a few more areas than you might normally do if you're working in your own country. So you might be asked to, in your regular job, to do something to do with sales or do something to do with marketing or to do with editing or so on. And that leads you to develop a few more skills in a few more areas. So I think if you're going to run a company like this, you need people with specialisms. But the ability to do lots of things quite well is something that I think is inherent in lots of expats, maybe engendered by where they are. And I think that's definitely helped us along the way. I think also what helps us is perhaps that the expat community in Taiwan is particularly close. I don't know if you've spent time in other countries in Asia, but it's really quite different in Taiwan. There's an awful lot of intelligent people here who are on friendly terms with each other. It's really a great community for exchanging information and support. So it really, I think, makes Taiwan a better bet for this kind of thing than anywhere else.
Can you say anything about what these readers are looking for in particular? Is there any kind of book that the English readers in Taiwan are particularly on the lookout for?
I think there's a lack of works for the general reader. I was saying before about academic publishing that there are a lot of academic books about Taiwan, but there's really a lack of writing for the general reader who wants to understand the country, but maybe doesn't want particularly to wade through a lot of dry academic writing. So what we've found, people who talk to us, we get different responses, of course, but I had a customer say to me the other day that anything Camphor Press puts out, I will buy. Which is a great compliment. I think that's on the strength of the early books that we produced, because everything that we do is targeted at a generally educated reader who's interested in Taiwan. So what we've had people say to us, well, I want to learn more about the Dutch era in Taiwan in the 17th century, or I want to know more about the temples of Taiwan, or I want to know more about the economic development, or whatever it is. A lot of the expats are interested in reading about Taiwan. They have quite a broad approach to learning about the country. Maybe that's because there's not an awful lot of writing about Taiwan in print, and they just read anything they can get their hands on, like I do and like my fellow co-founders do. But I think it's, you know, while there is this interest in a few specific topics, we find that generally anything that we put out that we think is interesting enough to put out, there's a pretty receptive audience there for it.
You are an e-publisher, and I'm wondering if the fact that you're releasing these books online and for things where it's possible to, you know, read it on an e-reader in an electronic way, does that help you serve this market in any way? Is that something that's specially suited for the kind of niche market that you're working for?
I think e-books have a number of advantages which really help us in what we're trying to do. The issues around producing a print book, I think there's more input in terms of time in laying out the book and preparing it for print, but also there's capital expenditure that's needed. We need to put in money to buy stock, and generally, you know, companies are going to expect you to print at least 500 at a time, so 500 times 200 NT or whatever it costs you to print, and then you're looking at a significant investment for each book. Then you've got to store them, you've got to sort out postage, you've got to sort out returns and so on. So it's it becomes a big exercise, and one that you need a fair amount of startup capital to get going. The advantage with ebooks, of course, is that everything's done online. You don't need a warehouse, you don't need a returns policy or anything like that. So you can get everything done, started up pretty cheaply. It enables us to spend a lot more time on working on the quality of the product rather than worrying about printing costs and so on. So I think the great advantage that ebooks have for niche publishers is that they provide you with a low entry point, a low barrier to entry, I should say. You know, you want to get started. You've got some great writing. How do you get it out to people in the most cost-effective way possible? How do you keep the cost down to the reader? If we were going to do these books in print, you know, we'd be looking at 500-600 NT just to make the economics work. Whereas when we offer them as ebooks, then they're 180 NT or 220 NT or whatever. They're within a reasonable range that people are quite happy to pay for. So I think without doing this in ebooks, it would be very difficult to get something like this off the ground.
And I feel like it kind of jibes with the kind of almost scrappy mentality that you find in Taiwan. People find a way to make things work here. You know, they want to produce something, and they'll get the people together, and they'll find some way. You know, maybe it'll be online, maybe it won't be a traditional way, but they'll make it work one way or another.
Well, I think that's Taiwan's great skill, really, isn't it? And maybe that passes across to the expats too. Is as you say, there's a sort of skill here at muddling through somehow with whatever you can lay your hands on. I think things have changed a lot for ebooks in the last few years as well. There's been a massive explosion in popularity in ebooks, and it opens up all sorts of new avenues that weren't possible before. I think if you'd wanted to do something like Camphor Press 10 years ago, it would have been very difficult. It would have been difficult to persuade people to move to ebooks because there weren't many people reading ebooks at the time. But also, I mean, if you wanted to do it as a traditional publishing concern, I just don't think it would work. at that time. What we're able to do now is start in ebooks, and then once we have a bit of popularity going, the next stage for us is going to be looking at doing print on demand. And so people will be able to buy our books in print as well. But I think ebooks for us will always be primary. Our books will always come out in ebook first, and then we'll be looking to print afterwards. And our ebooks will always be priced very competitively. So I think they'll still remain the core of the business.
So I want to talk now a little bit about your collection that you have so far. So you already have some books about traveling in Taiwan. You have expat accounts of life in Taiwan, and some of those interspersed within them is well-researched insights into Taiwan. And then in addition to that, you have re-releases of classics that give accounts of Taiwan throughout history. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about how it is that you choose which books you're going to publish. What kind of books are you interested in working on?
Well, for the older books that we are republishing, I think there are a number of key factors we look at. The primary thing in any book that we publish is, are we interested in it, the three of us who run Camphor Press? And it has to get a thumbs up from all three of us before it goes ahead. Any one of us can veto any book. With the older books that we've re-released, it was important for us to add something, to make them accessible to a modern reader. So, for example, with Flight of the Lapwing by H.N. Shaw, this book wasn't available elsewhere. You could get old editions from the time, but nobody had re-released this book recently. And it really told a great story about the East Asia of the time that he was writing. Now, the time he was writing was the 1870s, so a lot of the geopolitical situation, the commercial situation, society at the time was obvious to his readers, but it's not obvious to people nowadays. So there's a lot of things that he doesn't bother explaining because they're perfectly logical to somebody who's reading it in the 1870s, but to somebody who's reading now, they need a bit of help. So what we did is we went through the book and added notes where necessary. So if there's any terminology that people wouldn't recognize or referring to an incident that would have been current at the time but has been forgotten now, then we'd add a note to tell people about it. We'd also translate place names. A lot of the place names have changed since his day. And added introductions to all the books to provide a context for what people are reading about. So in the case of the Flight of the Lapwing, the context is the Opium Wars, the treaty ports that were opened up just after the Opium Wars. And the Lapwing, the ship that he's sailing on, is a sort of police boat that goes around these waters, making sure that piracy is kept down, making sure the Chinese keep to their end of the bargain in the treaties. And so, you know, you have to explain all that context to a reader before they can then dive into the text. So I think that's what we're able to do. With the other books that we've produced so far, Through Formosa is fascinating tale of one man going through the island. Owen Rutter wrote this book during the Japanese era. And again, there are things that need explaining about the time and place to help the modern reader. But once you've got that introduction done, you've set the scene. Then the reader can easily dive into the text and really enjoy it for what it is.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what kind of areas you think that Camphor Press will be able to take on itself, and what maybe in the future. It seems like you're also kind of hoping to see other publishers sprout up, cover other areas. What other areas do you think that they would cover as well that so far you haven't been able to get into as deeply as you would have liked to?
Well, I think if you look at the Chinese language press in Taiwan, then obviously they cover a huge range of topics. And the English language press is a lot more restricted. People talk about the expat experience, or they talk about politics, history, and so on. But those books that come out in Chinese that are talking about everyday Taiwan, talking about culture, about language, about all these things, and that same variety doesn't exist in English. So we would like some of those books that are published in Chinese to make not necessarily in translation, but some of those topics that they're talking about to make the jump to English. Now, I understand there's a smaller audience, so that's much more unlikely to happen, but we want to encourage as many people as possible who are interested in a niche area of this region, you know, to write about it and to get published. So in terms of an area of publishing, we try to cover it all. But just because there's one book about Taipei nightlife, for example, in English, doesn't mean there can't be a second book. And I think that kind of competition, that kind of blossoming of writing about the island is really what we'd like to see. And if that means more publishers coming on the scene, then great.
We've been speaking to Michael Cannings. He's the co-founder of Camphor Press, a new digital publishing house based in Taipei. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Keith. It's been a pleasure.
You can learn more about the publisher at camphorpress.com. Thanks for listening to Taiwan Talk. As always, we'd love to hear what you thought of today's program. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page or rate and review Taiwan Talk on iTunes. That's it for today for ICRT. I'm Keith Menconi.